Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Explain It To Me. This is a bi-weekly podcast in which I, your host, Dr. Bill Okoda, will be covering a topic in neurology and epilepsy. Today we will be talking about infantile spasms. So infantile spasms are also known as West syndrome because it was first described by Dr. William James West in the 1840s. These seizures are subtle. They can sometimes be missed if you are not looking out for them or if you don't know what you're looking for. It can be confused with normal baby activities as babies move around quite a bit. However, these seizures have also been called flexor spasms or jackknife seizures based on the abruptness of them. Basically, spasms consist of sudden stiffening where the arms fling out at the knees pull up, the body bends forward. Less often, the head can be thrown back as well, and the eyes could roll back. So overall, we're looking at stiffening, arms up, knees coming up, head thrown back, eyes rolling back. The movements can be a little more subtle than this, but usually in terms of infantile spasms, the ones that I've seen, there's always been some variation of the spastic nature of it. The infant might cry during or after a seizure. It can only last for about a second or so, but they can also cluster. Oftentimes, when kids or babies are doing this, they are mistaken for colic or cramps. But of course, an EEG does show you what it is and can differentiate between colic and spasms. So more often than not, these occur during the daytime, often just after waking up. They rarely happen in sleep while the child is asleep. So infantile spasms are considered an age-specific epilepsy. They usually begin in infancy around 3 to 8 months of age. In most children, definitely by the a-year mark, you'll start seeing these. Treatment should be started right away. It is not common, and so that's why it's hard to recognize. And if you do see your child doing this, definitely take them to a child neurology or epilepsy center. Only about one baby out of a few thousand are affected, so it is not very common. So it's very important to get your child treated at a place where they are used to doing this. So the most common cause of infantile spasms is due to a structural change in the brain. This might be due to prior injury, such as the brain being having an infection in utero or during birth or quickly after birth. A lack of oxygen to the brain could also cause this, or it could be due to an abnormality in the way the brain has developed, including dysplasias, cortical malformations, polymicrogyria, just to name a few. Genetic causes are also possible. There are a number of genetics that are associated with infantile spasms. Otherwise, there are also cases where babies have no apparent injury and have been developing normally and will also have spasms. One thing to note is having a family history of infantile spasms doesn't guarantee that your baby will have this. And the diagnosis, as I mentioned before, an EEG is very helpful. The history of the child's development and any prior brain injury will also be important. Physical exam will also be important. Oftentimes, most of us in the neurology world can see a spasm and recognize it. EEG will help you diagnose it, but often it is helpful just to even have a video or have a doctor lay eyes on the child while they're doing it. That will be helpful also with the diagnosis. Oftentimes, once this diagnosis is made, an MRI, brain, blood, and urine test might be done to try to find if the spasms are isolated or related to other metabolic or other types of epileptic conditions. The treatment here, like I said, needs to be done very quickly. It is something that is time sensitive because the longer you wait to treat spasms, the worse they can progress, leading to cognitive delay and other intellectual disability. So the main treatment is going to be Sabril, which is vigabatrin, or if it's a very acute onset, we can also do steroid therapy and ACTH. A lot of pediatric hospitals are used to treating spasms, so they will offer ACTH. I know steroids are something that have been written in literature and sometimes offered, but in my experience, ACTH is the way to go. It's an injection that goes into the muscle, and it can have side effects, including infections, blood pressure, stomach irritation, irritability. It can also cause the baby's heart to beat really fast. Sometimes we will need a clearance by a pediatric team in the hospital or a cardiologist to start this medication. The next one I mentioned is Sabril, which is vigabatrin. It comes in either a powder or tablets. It's used very commonly in patients with tuberous sclerosis. And actually, if tuberous sclerosis is causing the spasms, we try to use that one first. Vigabatrin has rarely been associated with permanent loss of peripheral vision. I've seen this drug used quite often. I haven't seen the side effect yet, but it is something to be mindful of if you're doing that. So monitoring of the vision is very, very important. Usually you don't need long-term treatment for spasms. If the spasms improve, usually the resolution is by the age of 4, and at that point something like Sabril or ACTH can be discontinued. Other medications that are helpful include Depakote, Topamax, Cenisamide, Clobazam. And these medications are less effective than ACTH and Vigabatrin, so they should not be used first line, but they are medications that can be used long term, whereas the other ones, you know, you can't really do ACTH injections long term. You can do Sabril or Vigabatrin long term, but because of the peripheral vision side effect, we tend not to do that. There are also non-medical therapies. For instance, you can offer epilepsy surgery in patients where the focal area of the brain is causing abnormalities, such as in tuberous sclerosis or focal cortical dysplasia. You can try to take that part of the brain out. Oftentimes, it's not that feasible, so we can evaluate the baby for other things like a ketogenic diet, which is safe. Unfortunately, some of the other neuromodulators that we have, like an RNS, VNS, that's not approved for really, really small infants. So, you know, that is something we're limited in. But if there is a resective epilepsy surgery that can be done, definitely the higher level epileptic centers can do that. So what is the outlook for infantile spasms? Most patients with infantile spasms, especially if not treated right away, will have intellectual disabilities later in life. You also have a concordance between infantile spasms and autism. So because of this, treating seizures early is important to maximizing the child's developmental potential. Now, even if the infantile spasms stop later on in life, the child is always prone to developing Lennox-Gastaut syndrome. That is something that we see pretty frequently, or even focal epilepsy. So just because the spasms have stopped doesn't mean the seizure medications stop. So anytime you have a child with spasms, really something that needs to be monitored longitudinally with a pediatric neurologist or a pediatric epileptologist. So that is infantile spasms in a nutshell. Thank you for listening. I'll be back again in a couple of weeks with another topic in epilepsy. And again, if there's another neurological topic you might want to hear, let me know. But thank you for listening, and we will chat soon. Bye-bye.